Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, based on senior pastor's message in the goodness, I'm reviewing the goodness of the forefathers in the Bible. Well, you may know who I'm going to talk about. He is the leader of Exodus. About 3,500 years ago, he led the Israelites, who were slaves in Egypt back then, to the land of Canaan. Well, this country was a colony of Japan for 36 years before. And then it wasn't easy to get free by all our might. We need, other countries' help. And then I was told that there are many, countries, they don't want to become independent. But it's not easy. Well, think about Israelites, though. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Not in their own land, but in Egypt. And they got to escape from the land. So it was much more difficult. However, Father God wanted to keep the promise that he made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That was, when the time came, he would lead his Israelites to the land of Canaan. So God chose someone who would obey the word of God to lead the Israelites out of the land. He would, divide the Red Sea and turning the bitter water of Marah into drinking water. Who was gentle and in faith in God's house? Who was it? That's right, Moses. Now, how could he be chosen by God and did his duty? Of course, he had an upright heart to believe in Father God and obey. Well, it was possible to have that because he had such, ultimate goodness in his heart. Even though he had the upright heart and goodness, if it had not changed him, he could not shine like that. Like, if you found a diamond, unless you refine it, the diamond is not beautiful. So, if I'm going to talk about four things about Moses' goodness. Well, without refinement, he would not have accomplished second, third, and fourth goodness. So, I hope you can receive grace from this message, mainly from the goodness of Moses. But please also focus on how, what kind of refinement he went through to accomplish the goodness. So I pray in the name of the Lord that you may achieve the goodness of Moses so that you can be preciously used by God at the end time. Brothers and sisters, Moses lived in this land for 120 years. His life can be fall into three period, 40 years each, from his birth to 40 years old, and he was a prince, and from the age of 40 to 80, when he lived as a shepherd. At the age of 80, he was called, and until he died, he lived a life as a leader of Exodus. I told you I'm going to talk about four goodnesses of, Moses. The first goodness was about, when Moses was a prince. And the second was when he was, shepherd. And the third and the fourth, goodness was focusing on when he was a slave. So the goodness of Moses recognized about by God is first, he chose to suffer affliction with God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin. Well, Moses was born to Levites. Back then, Israelites were slaves to Egyptians. When Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt, Egyptians were very, friendly to Israelites. However, time passed by, nobody could remember Joseph. Then there was new Pharaoh. This new Pharaoh did not know about Joseph. He got nothing to do with Israelites. So he just considered the Israelites just the foreign people, Israel and Gentiles. However, Israelites got bigger and bigger. So he got afraid of Israelites. Now think about a nation which is going to be much stronger than your own nation. You got to be scared, right? What if the nation got, you know, united together and destroy your own nation or rebel against you? So that's what, you know, Pharaoh got afraid of. So the Pharaoh decided to destroy Israelites. He gave Israelites in much harder works, and he tried to kill all the newborn boys, Hebrew boys. So Israelites, you know, suffered and cried every day. And God heard their crying, and he decided to lead the Israelites out. And it was this time when Moses was born. Well, he was about to be killed because, as Hebrews 11:23 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of king's edict. Moses' parents depended on God. They were not afraid of Pharaoh. 3 months later, when Moses, in the cry got, you know, louder, they couldn't, you know, hide him anymore. Otherwise, you know, Moses would be killed. And then his parents, you know, violated the law, so the parents would be killed. So Moses' mother decided to leave Moses onto the hands of God. So he made the basket of reeds and put him into the basket and drifted on the river. It was rather for him to be killed by the sword of Egyptian soldiers, right? He was expecting salvation of God. So baby Moses was drifted on the water, and his mother, you know, Zechabed, you know, was, you know, just praying. I didn't see that, but I believe, you know, until the basket was disappearing, you know, his mother was just praying and crying. However, you know, his sister Miriam wanted to see how God, you know, would save Moses. He followed the basket far away. Well, while I was preparing for this message, you know, I found that there was a song of, you know, Zechabed, the mother of Moses. Because I was looking for a proper in the contents, and then there I found the animation, The Prince of Egypt, and I just watched, you know, where the when the basket was drifted on the river, and the Nile River is not just, you know, soft flowing river, right? There are alligators, and there are, you know, the Nile River is quite a big river. And Moses was in a small, you know, reed basket. So the basket had to, you know, didn't, you know, turn upside down, but it was drifted well. So when Father God had will, you know, nobody could interfere. That's what I, you know, figured it out. You know, some people may wonder, you know, how could, you know, that small, you know, reed basket could, you know, drift and found the reach of, you know, man's hand. So anyway, there was the princess of Pharaoh, and they found the basket. And the princess realized that, you know, the baby was Hebrew. So, Moses' life was at stake, right? He could have lost his life because, you know, he was Hebrew. However, princess wanted a baby. It's strange, right? It's amazing, actually. She couldn't have a baby. So, the baby he found on the river was a kind of gift from heaven. So, she decided to keep the baby. But, you know, she got no milk. So Miriam ran into the princess, and she said, as written in Exodus 2:7, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And she was young, but she was quite brave. So Miriam called for, you know, her mother. Isn't it amazing? The mother met his son again. And she could even, you know, breastfeed him. And he became prince of Egypt. So, Moses, you know, true mother became a nurse, and then Moses could became a prince. It was the great work of God. He saved his life, and he could be raised by faith. Well, Zochebed, you know, his true mother, you know, could not spend much time with Moses. So you can imagine what kind of heart, you know, she had. She wanted to plant, you know, faith in the heart of Moses as, you know, much as possible. She told him about God and his chosen people and his ancestors, such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the promise that God made with them. And she also told him about the promised land, the Canaan land. Even though it was a short period of time, you know, Moses could have, you know, proper and strong faith. So later, his mother left him, and Moses could live a life as a prince. Back then, Egypt was the strongest country in the world. So the prince of Egypt had great power. He could enjoy taste of food, enjoy good clothes, and he could enjoy, you know, himself in a beautiful palace. He could give summons to many people. He could treat it best, and he could enjoy, you know, whatever he could do, you know, whatever he wanted to do. However, Moses was very wise, and he was good, so he was trusted by Pharaoh back then. So he could have become a great servant of Pharaoh, right? However, Moses had one thing in his mind. That is, he didn't belong there. Because he heard from his mother that, you know, there was his people who was suffering in the land of Egypt. And he had pity for his own people. Of course, he heard it, you know, he heard about it when he was young, so he could not know clearly. However, he could remember what was planted in his heart, even though he was very, you know, faint. So even though he enjoyed his luxurious life, you know, he was not pleased. He had some kind of, you know, agony in his heart. Because he knew the law. So every day in the palace was the day of sins. So one day, he gave up everything and ran into the wilderness because he committed a murder. One day, he saw Egyptian beating Hebrew. Back then, a slave was considered like an animal or just an object. So slaves were sold and bought, and they could be easily harassed. No, I was told that, you know, in Egypt there is different levels called, you know, caste, and, you know, and then some people live a miserable life, which are under the lowest level, and by that system. So, even though they are very wise, because they belong to the lowest level, and that they could not be treated well. They lived under, and they had the job, such as, you know, you know, garbage cleaning and the kind of stuff. And back then, the goal of Egyptians was, you know, destroying Israelites, right? So they didn't treat Hebrews well. And Moses knew about this situation very well. He knew that his own people were suffering under the scorching sunlight, and he felt sorry for them. And when he had this kind of heart, he saw his people suffering by Egyptian. So Moses got angry and killed Egyptian. He thought, you know, nobody saw him killing Egyptian. So he buried the dead body of Egyptian under the sand. Next day, he knew that what he did was revealed. So he became a criminal, even though he was a prince, you know, he couldn't help with that. And Pharaoh knew about this too, so he was trying to kill Moses. So Moses gave up everything in the palace, and he ran into the wilderness. And here, we can find the first goodness of Moses. Even though it was very disadvantaged to him, but he wanted to choose to be with his own people. He gave up his everything. He gave up what he enjoyed. Of course, you know, murder is a crime, and it's a sin. However, God saw the heart of Moses. So there is one thing that is important. Father God does not look at the outward appearance of man. He looks at the heart of man. This can apply to many parts. When someone commits sins, how Father God decides whether that sin is grave or light. Father God considers the motivation of the sin and intention and process and what kind of heart that he had. And then he judges. Well, people also try to do so. However, people cannot read others' hearts, so they make mistakes when they make judgment. But Father God knows everything, so he can judge correctly. Well, let's say there are two people who committed a sin of murder. So they should receive the sentence for murder, homicide. But someone killed the man out of anger, but the other man killed someone to save some other people. Their sin is different, right? You know, someone was calling in the public telephone booth, right? And the man who was outside the booth waited too long, so he killed the man inside the telephone booth. They argued. And so I'm not sure whether it was the caller inside the booth or the one outside the booth that killed. So, but there is someone who killed a gangster. When the gangster tried to kill someone, the motivation of Moses' mother was to save his own people. Even though it was, you know, disadvantageous to him, but he did this. He was about to lose everything. But he wanted to be with his chosen people. That was spiritual faith, isn't it? What if Moses think to himself that, you know, no matter what happens to whoever, you know, all I can want is just enjoy what I have. You know, he would have, you know, avoided that situation when he knows people were suffering. However, as I told you earlier, Moses wanted to suffer together with, you know, God's chosen people. Than, you know, enjoy himself. So even though he was about to lose the honor of becoming a prince to Pharaoh's princess, you know, he could not, you know, avoid the situation. Of course, the intention or the motivation was good, and the murder is a sin. So as I told you, I will tell you later, God refined Moses to break himself. And Moses, you know, cast off the origin of his sin and became a very humble man. So, whatsoever, you know, he had to pay the price for what he did. There was no twist of goodness. There was no helping hand. He was became just a lonely man, and he just ran away. That's all he could do. After he got out of palace, what he did was just thinking, where should I go? He got no goal. He got no direction. But one thing for sure is that he couldn't come back to Egypt. In order to escape from the soldiers, he had to run away far, far away. So he ran to the opposite direction from the palace. There was no road in the wilderness. He got no compass. He got no maps. He got no drinks. He got no water. He got no food. He got nothing to cover the light or the blanket. He had no idea what would happen to him next day. He was just a poor man, you know, he could have, you know, endured. However, he was a very rich prince. And when he had to suffer like that, you know, he couldn't enjoy well. That's what, you know, that's what happens to a rich boy, right? Well, I used to live like that. You know, those, you know, he used to live a very poor life. When they, you know, encounter some very bad situation, you know, they have some, you know, room to, you know, overcome the situation. However, a rich man who enjoyed all kinds of different things and choice food, you know, when he got bankrupt and then had to, you know, he used to have all kinds of meat and all kinds of fine food, you know, had to eat only rice, then how could he overcome? His mental would be, you know, damaged too, right? I was told that there was a rich family. Their business was very successful. Very rich man. Very rich people. He was not Christian though. One day, he got bankrupt. That's what I heard. He got bankrupt. He lost everything. So he had to move to a smaller, you know, house. And he used to live in a very big, big house with yards and swimming pool. He moved to a very smaller house. And he said, I'm so, you know, miserable because my house is so small. Well, the house, his small house was like four bedrooms and three beds, I guess. Well, I was shocked to hear that. I've never lived in that kind of, you know, big house. But he said, you know, it was a very small house. Even though he lived there, he seemed to suffer. So I was shocked to see him. So depending on, you know, what kind of life he lived, you know, you may have different idea about what you enjoy now. So anyway, Moses lived as a prince for 40 years in a beautiful palace. But one day, he became a man in the wanted list. However, Moses had, in a vague faith, the faith that God of Israel, God of his forefathers, would lead him. So, that's what he chose. And God surely led his way. He found, you know, he chose in the wilderness to refine Moses for 40 years. Well, brothers and sisters, what if you and I were in his shoes? I ask, you know, this kind of question to myself. Well, do you believe that your way of faith is a way of life and glory? That's right. However, this way is also the way of the suffering, very narrow way. Well, in this country alone, you know, we got, you know, freedom of religion. So you can pray freely, you can sing praises, or you can preach gospel to other people, right? But what about, you know, North Korea? It's impossible. They have to risk their lives to keep their faith. They have to give up everything they can enjoy. For many decades, you piled up many things, but you gotta give them all up for God. Can you do that without hesitation? Can you do that with joy and say amen? Or Abraham, Elijah, Elisha, Apostle Paul, Peter, John, and disciples of the Lord, all the people of God gave up everything they got. They gave up their parents, homeland, relatives, all kinds of honor. But they depended only on God. They were refined on their way to heaven. That's what we found in the Bible. But they never said they got lonely, it was difficult, it was too much. They rather took everything with joy and thanks. How could they do that? God was more important than what they had. God was their everything. Because the reason that they believed in the Lord, you know, they were mocked and they were insulted. What did you do? You got to leave your homeland. You got to go to a foreign land, forsaking your family. Can you do that? Well, that's what our missionaries do. You know, if they were in Korea, you know, they could enjoy a very comfortable life while they're managing their Christian life. You know, they could meet, you know, they could see their beloved people. However, for dying souls, they know that, you know, our Lord is, our heart, the heart of our Lord is burning. So they obeyed the call of the Lord and they went to foreign land. So Father God will surely reward them greatly in heaven. However, on the contrary, there are people who fall into the world and enjoy the evil and sin of the world after receiving grace of the Lord. Some people ignore prayers and worships. Even though they come to worship service, they don't worship God in spirit and truth. They fall into sleep. Well, if you got too tired the day before and you fell asleep for a while, then, well, you can later, you know, worship God in spirit and truth. However, if you worship in idle thoughts and sleeping all the time, and even if you do so you don't realize it, it's a big trouble, isn't it? You got no faith, you got no hope. You got nothing to do with the goodness of Moses. You got to realize that. So brothers and sisters, the second goodness that God recognized about Moses is that Moses gave heartfelt thanks to God when he was in refinements and trials. When he was in refinements means when he came out of the palace and married to a daughter of Midian daughter and became a shepherd. Moses found a well. And she found ladies, you know, disturbed by other people. So he helped those ladies. And he met, you know, the leader of Midianites. Because the ladies were his, you know, daughters. So Moses, you know, started to live with him. He got married. He got sons. You know, he became a shepherd. His life got, you know, stable. And then he started to have all kinds of complex feelings in his heart. Well, the situation was so urgent when he got out of the palace. So he got no time to think about anything. It was same when he was in the wilderness. He got no drinking water. So he got no time to discover himself. However, now he got time to look back on himself. And then it was this time when his refinement of heart began. It was the refinement of being humble. He seemed to have everything before, but he realized that actually he got nothing. He felt voidness. He lived the luxurious life as a prince, but he got now nothing. So he thought about the vanity of life. When he was in the palace, he could do whatever he wanted to do, but now there was nothing he could do. When he was a prince, he wanted to have what he wanted to have. He could do the way he liked. He gave orders to his servants, and they obeyed him. He could do whatever he wanted to do. But now, you know, even though he wanted to do something, you know, he could read faces of his wife and his, you know, father-in-law. Of course, you know, they didn't, you know, persecute him. However, he was living in his, you know, father-in-law's house. So his life was not that easy. Without working, he could not eat. So he got to work hard. But, you know, it's wilderness. So he could not, you know, reap harvest. So he had to, you know, shepherd, you know, sheep. If one of his, you know, sheep got hurt, you know, he got worried because that sheep belonged to his, you know, father-in-law. He never did, you know, shepherding. So it was very, you know, tough and hard. He couldn't rest. He couldn't sleep. Even though he was good and he was diligent, he was a Gentile. So he drew attention from Midianites. So he had to set example all the more. He had to be more diligent. Obviously, he could not enjoy or eat or drink whatever he could do in palace. He had to find something by himself. He couldn't give orders. There's nothing I could do. I'm nothing. He came to think like this, so he started to humble himself. He was completely different from the day he was a prince. He could have, you know, lost heart, but Moses didn't feel, you know, negatively about his situation. He didn't give up. So we can see Moses, you know, overcame refinements well. Through refinements, he understood what he had to realize, and he was changed. We say you gotta overcome your refinement well. We could, you know, we could say it easily, but you know, when you yourself face the difficulty, you know, it's not easy to get over the refinement and change yourself. It's not easy, right? You know, that's why you laugh at it. So if you were in Moses' situation, you know that it is not that easy. Moses was loved by many people. He was loved by his own mother. His neighbors, friends loved him. He was trusted by Pharaoh. He could enjoy luxurious things. He was nothing short of. But he had to give up everything. He went into the wilderness. He got no future. He was just a shepherd. Obviously, he could have, you know, negative thoughts. However, he was not trapped by those, you know, negative thoughts. He didn't lose heart. He didn't give up on himself. Why did I give up everything that I could have? He didn't regret like this. Amazing, isn't it? Even under that severe refinement, he didn't lose heart. But he was beautifully changed. Why? Because he got faith. What he chose by giving him everything was that the way the Father God wanted to do. He believed that he could be with God's chosen people. He had the faith. When Father God is with him, he could do something the Father God wanted him to do. He had such a faith. So even under a very difficult situation, he did everything with joy and thanks, without regret. I believe you also take your life with joy and thanks, right? When he was a kid, he heard about God, about his chosen people. And he loved God and his chosen people. So for them, he gave up everything and went into the wilderness. He didn't receive, you know, very tough in education. He just heard it, but he kept it in his heart, like his own life. Isn't it wonderful to keep his faith like this? And he didn't lose heart. He rather humbled himself as he discovered himself. And he came to understand God better and more. He got new perspective. It was only possible by faith in God. I told you that, you know, he felt no vanity. However, he didn't regret by saying, you know, I'm nothing. Even though I'm nothing, Father God is surely there. He believed that Father God is there. He didn't lose heart when he found that, you know, there is nothing he could do. He just realized the truth that as long as Father God the Almighty does not give me anything, no matter how much effort, you know, I make, I cannot have it. He realized this truth. He realized that what he had before was not by his might. It was only possible because Father God allowed it. He realized this. So through refinement, he understood that he could have anything unless Father God allows it. And at the same time, even though it seems impossible, if Father God wants, then it can become possible. He realized this. So once he realized all these things, everything turned into reasons for thanksgiving. Of course, he was nothing, he was low, that he realized. And he realized that something he thought and he could achieve by his own might was not actually by his own might. Someone else gave it to him. That was God. God allowed him to enjoy it. God allowed him to have it. God himself, you know, provided him with those things. He realized that he was arrogant. He thought he was best. So he couldn't understand the grace that Father God gave to him. But he finally realized that Father God gave him everything without changing. And he waited for him. Once he realized it, he was so sorry for being arrogant. And he was also thankful for Father God who was waiting for him. So he was able to give thanks for everything. And furthermore, he understood the vanity of life. So he had hope for only for God and fixed his eyes only on God. So he started to give true confession of thanks. He was thankful for being alive. He was thankful for eating. He gave thanks for having place to sleep in. Even though he had to sleep in the wilderness, he was thankful for taking a rest like that. He was thankful for having a land before his eyes. He was thankful for being able to move his body. He gave thanks for everything, but he didn't regard everything his own. He couldn't go to wherever he wanted to go. He couldn't have whatever he wanted to have. He realized this, but also he gave thanks for that. The moment he realized the vanity of life, he started to give great thanks to Father God. This is the confession Moses gave to God. Father God in heaven, I was so foolish that I couldn't realize you. But now, I know that Almighty Father God is there as I'm watching the sunset. I'm nothing. Even though I wanted to have what I wanted to have, I couldn't have it. But you called me out of your love. I believe that you are in my heart. When Moses saw, you know, sunrise and sunset, he thought about God. When he looked up to countless stars, he thought about God. The God of Israel that he heard from his mother was not just the God in the story. He believed that Father God is truly alive during his refinement. Even though he didn't have any great experience, in his goodness, he acknowledged God and he believed in God. So he came to have true faith from the depths of his heart. As time went by, that faith became stronger, and he wanted to see God face to face desperately. And he came to love his own people all the more. So as you can see, in his refinement, he believed the Father God is alive, and he was able to give thanks for everything around him. Moses seemed to have no self-confidence after he broke his ego completely. So what he did when God called him, he hesitated to do the command that Father God gave to him. Well, but Exodus 4:10, then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." And in verse 13, he said, "Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will." For 40 years of refinement, he realized that he could do nothing. So, he just made this confession. He was completely different from the day when he was a prince. He would change a lot. Back then, he was full of confidence. He could say, "I can do anything. I'm capable of, you know, dealing with everything." He made the confession. He was wise. He was strong. And he was wise. However, after the refinement, he gave them up. He realized that his wisdom is not everything. His education was not everything. The martial art he learned is not everything. He realized all this during his refinement. He learned many things, like in the calculus and kind of stuff, but you know, where he could use that. It was just a mere shepherd. Of course, you know, it's better to learn it, right? However, he was just a mere shepherd. He could not serve for whatever he learned. It didn't help him, you know, doing his, you know, shepherding, right? Like, you know, mathematics or calculus, you know, that kind of stuff, it would not help him. Well, even young shepherd could do better job than Moses. He was called the best when he was a kid. But as he lived as a shepherd for 40 years, he realized that he was nothing. So he wanted to make peace with everyone around him. He humbled himself. And he realized many things after he met his wife. Finally, he got no self-ego. So, as I told you earlier, when God called him, he said he was nothing. And he was short of many things. He could become humble like this thanks to refinement. Because of that refinement, when God called him, he didn't say, "God, you now recognize me. Just give me your job and I will do that." He didn't say so. He would rather say, "Send someone else who is more capable." But Father God was pleased with his humbleness. So, what is the difference between, you know, no confidence in fleshly sense and a true humbleness in a spiritual sense? If you are truly humble in a spiritual sense, then you could believe in Father God more than anything else. So you will only obey God. Otherwise, you could not obey God. So what about Moses? When God called him, you know, he was humble. But soon, he understood the heart of God. How much Father God loves, you know, his own people. How much he wants to save his own people. So Moses got confidence. And he started to do his duty with all his might and his life. Father God considered what Moses did during his refinement goodness. You gotta remember this. So, what should you do when you're in refinement? Why should I receive this refinement? It's too much. How can I overcome it? Didn't you say that? Didn't you lose your face, even though it was less? When Moses was a shepherd in the wilderness, he had to become humble for 40 years. He got no idea whether he would be called by God after 40 years. But nobody told him. He had no idea whether he would be the shepherd for 40 years or 60 years. Or until, you know, he, you know, breathed his last. Even though nobody recognized him, he rather you know, humbled himself. He was just giving thanks for everything surrounding him. When he was completely humble like this, Father God called for Moses and gave him great duty. So, we gotta go through refinement with thanks. How could he do that? First of all, the refinement that we face now have meanings for us. You gotta quickly find it out. And through the refinement, you believe that you gotta change. You gotta hope for your change. You gotta believe that Father God is surely with you, and He will give you strength to lead you out, so that you will not stumble during the refinement. You gotta realize that it is love of Father God to lead me to New Jerusalem in this shortcut. Once you realize this, you can give thanks during the refinement. Therefore, no matter what kind of situation you face, you got to check back yourself. And what is that Father God wants you to understand through this, the time of refinement, through your prayers? And you got to be never jealous of those who are used by God, said senior pastor. Refinements are allowed to make you great vessel. But don't judge when people don't receive answer. Okay? Think about this. Blacksmith has to, you know, hit the iron many times until he, you know, makes whatever he wants to, he makes that iron into the shape that he wants to have. Until he likes it, he keeps hitting and striking it. Then once the iron got shape, you know, he puts the iron into the cold water. If the iron avoids the heating and the heating, then the iron cannot become the shape that the blacksmith wants. It is the same with the spiritual refinement. Proverbs 17:3 says, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts." Since Father God knows our heart and vessel, He gives us refinement according to that. Father God is love. If you have great vessel, you would receive a great of refinement. And when you go to heaven, you will become even great man. If you have small vessel, you can be easily broken. So Father God, you know, will refine you according to that. Therefore, in order to become in a better vessel, and when you go through refinement, you got to humble yourself like Moses and give thanks for everything. Then Father God will hold you in His hand and you can be molded into a better and greater vessel. Brothers and sisters, the third goodness of Moses that God recognized is that he was very humble, more than anyone else on the face of the earth. When Moses overcame refinement with thanks and became humble, and when he had great faith, finally Father God called for him. Father God called Moses to lead Israelites out of Egypt, who was crying in the land of Egypt. Since Moses humbled himself completely for 40 years, when he was given such a duty by God, he hesitated. But when Father God showed him signs, and when Father God gave him promise, he finally obeyed and went to Egypt. He told what God said to him to his people. And when he obeyed, Father God showed, manifested his power. So eventually, Israelites could leave the land of Egypt where they were slaves for 400 years. Until Moses died, he had to experience many, many things. And in during this process, you know, His extreme goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness got shine out. Father God loves those who are humble because Father God loves spiritual gentleness and with virtue. Okay? Spiritual gentleness with virtue. Well, gentle and meek does not mean that your inner characters are very soft. Okay? As you cast off, you know, evil, you don't give, you know, you don't give trouble to others. So others can feel, you know, gentleness and meanness from you. But there are people who are born meek. They look, you know, gentle. However, they still have evil in their heart. So when situation meets, you know, such evil will come out. There are people who do not express well, so they seem, you know, gentle. But they suppress their, you know, ill feelings. But one day when he met the situation, he burst into anger. Someone said that, you know, who is got angry many times is not fearsome, but, you know, who is good at suppressing, but suppress many angers, but burst into anger is more fearsome. Let's say he's like a cotton, you know, a bag with, you know, very sharp, you know, glasses inside. So he cannot give peace to people around him, right? But think about the very soft cotton. Even though you throw a stone at it, you know, it doesn't make any sound. It just embraces it. If you have this kind of heart, you will make peace with everyone. Even though some people give you troubles, you will just embrace them. So there is no argument. You just make peace with them. And you can even embrace people who have different ideas and different etiquettes. Gentle people have, you know, great range of understanding. So they can embrace those people, uneducated, those who have different idea. And they don't easily judge and condemn. They always, you know, embrace others and think from their perspective and, you know, serve them with gentle heart. They don't give troubles to others. They don't regard others in the troubles. It is so important, okay? Some people who are meek and gentle do not give troubles to others. But without notice, you know, chances are that some other people can feel, you know, troubles. This is the case with, you know, when they are short of virtue. Because they don't consider others' heart. However, those who have, you know, spiritual gentleness can understand and consider others' heart very delicately. Even though other people have weak faith and do evil, those gentle people do not forgive them. They wait until they change, and they try to lead to the better way. And in addition, a man with gentleness is like a big tree. Well, big tree provides a big shade to many people. Like this, you know, gentle people can embrace many people. Many people can find rest in him. People depend on him a lot. People find peace around him. So Moses had this kind of gentleness, better than anyone on the face of the earth. If you read the Bible, you can see what kind of troubles Moses had for 40 years until he led Israelites into the land of Canaan. Well, think about your mission or your parish. There are like, you know, sometimes dozens of people or a couple of hundreds of people. There are people who don't change, all kinds of people. There are people who complain. There are people who give troubles. Well, senior pastor, this is what senior pastor said. Complaining people, giving troubles, hurling, criticizing, lying, disobeying, all kinds of different people. There are people who pursue their benefit without, regardless of their faith. They do evil, especially a big church like this. There are more people like that. People with good education, people with no education, rich people, poor people, people with etiquette, people with no etiquette, people with fame and honor, people who are low. So it's not easy to make peace. There are many in a noise among them. However, there are like 600,000 men, except in the ladies and kids. So Moses had to lead those people, like 2 million people. So you can imagine Moses heard many kind of complaints here and there. Exodus 18:13 says, "It came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. The people stood above Moses from the morning until the evening." From morning till evening, they asked Moses to judge, right? So Moses had to judge those people. So Moses, you know, father-in-law worried about him. So he asked him, he asked Moses to choose, you know, trusted people to take care of, you know, Moses' jobs. However, it does not mean that, you know, Moses' job got reduced. Since Moses had the very important duty to lead Israelites, Moses worried about 2 million Israelites when he was sleeping, when he was working. How to plant faith into their hearts, how to lead them to the land of Canaan. He always worried about it. But the Israelites didn't understand Moses' heart like this. Almost none. They experienced all kinds of signs and wonders that Moses manifested by the hand of God. However, when they faced difficulties, they always complained against Moses. By Moses' faith, the Red Sea was divided. No Israelites could cross the Red Sea. But after 3 days, he complained to Moses for not drinking water. If they had remembered the 10 plagues and the miracle of the Red Sea, they could have asked Moses to give them drinking water. However, even though they experienced the great power of God, they didn't believe God was with them. Moses listened to his people. He cried to God instead and turned bitter water of Marah into drinking water. So Israelites drank that drinking water. But soon, they complained against Moses again for something to eat. Exodus 16 verse 2 and 3 says, "The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, 'Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate the bread to the full? For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" They were slaves in Egypt. But they could sit around the pot of meat, right? They were provided such miserable food only to work as a slave, right? But because of the little difficulty that they faced, that they grumbled against Moses like that. Even though Moses grumbled against him like this, Moses prayed to God again. So, Israelites could eat manna and quails morning and evening. Just as God promised, meat came down from heaven, so they could have faith and obey Moses. However, when they moved to a different place, they complained against for drinking water. They were even trying to stone at Moses. Exodus 17 verse 2 says, "Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?'" They experienced so many kinds of miracles. They experienced God, God of love. But they didn't change. So that's why Moses said, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But they got angry at him. Exodus 17:3 says, "Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children, our livestock with thirst?" It's ridiculous, isn't it? They ate manna and quail every day. How could they say so? It's nonsense, isn't it? But Moses went to pray to God again. He prayed to God and got the answer. Before the eyes of elders, water gushed out from the rock. As you can see, Israelites grumbled against Moses whenever they got difficulties, and they doubt whether God is alive with them. God is with us today. Tomorrow He is not with us? No way. However, to petition on behalf of people, Moses prayed to God and got the answer from God. Therefore, we should not be like the Israelites. Once Father God shows us something, then we should never forget that, but imprint it in our heart. So, anyhow, they finally arrived Mount Sinai. They made a promise. They made a covenant with God, and they became the people of God. But they didn't fix their habit of disobedience. They, you know, disobeyed the will of God. And one day, it happened. It happened. They committed sin greatly before God, and they were about to be destroyed. It was when Moses went up to mountain. When Moses was not around, they became arrogant. They made the golden calf, and they started to worship the golden calf. They enjoyed a lewd life. They drank. They enjoyed. Especially, it was the Sabbath day. So God was naturally very angry. Well, right after they arrived at the Mount Sinai, they made a covenant with God. Exodus 24:7 says, "Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient.'" All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. This is what they said. They read the covenant. They made the promise with blood. Right after Moses went up to Mount Sinai, they worshipped the golden calf. They broke their promise that they made right before. And Father God burst into anger. Exodus 32 verses 9 and 10 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'I've sent this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone, and my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation.'" Well, it's not, you know, it's not difficult to imagine that Moses would not say amen. However, Moses prayed to God desperately like this in Exodus 32 verses 11 to 13. "O Lord, why does your anger burn against your people whom you have brought out from the land of Egypt with great power and with your mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'With evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all this land of which I have spoken, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit forever.'" Is this honest prayer? You think it's just one-time prayer? No. God knew it was his earnest prayer. God the Almighty heard his petition and he changed his mind. He once decided to destroy countless Israelites. However, Moses' petition was so desperate and earnest, full of love and faith, so Father God couldn't help it. If Moses had even a little bit of evil in his heart, you know, he could got tired. However, he got so gentle heart. He didn't do so to be recognized by others. He made this confession from the depths of his heart. It was the confession of love for his people. That suited the heart of God and moved the heart of God. We have experienced this a lot. Sins that could not be forgiven, sins leading to death, but Father God gave us chance of repentance many times, and he forgave us again and again. To change what Father God decided requires many kinds of sacrifice and hanging and truth and love that can move the heart of God. Eventually, Father God heard Moses' prayer, and he didn't angry at his own people. When Moses came down from the mountain and he saw what people did, he realized that his people truly did commit a great crime. But then he went to God and prayed again. That's written in Exodus 32, verses 31 and 32. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people has committed a great sin, and they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if you will, forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book which you have written." This book refers to Book of Life. Moses knew well that whose name's not in that book would go to hell. As I read this part in the past, I once imagined, what if my name got erased from this Book of Life? Well, I got so scared. Well, I got goosebumps all over my body, thinking of the punishment in hell. If I got one day to receive punishment in hell, and people could be saved, I just imagined that. I'm sorry to say this. Well, my body got burned, fall down from the cliff 1,000 times, and suffer, and thrown into some dirty bird, bugs and insects, just for one day. Can I do that? Then I realized that I'm far from goodness. But we can find some forefathers of faith in the Bible who made this kind of petition to Father God, risking their lives. Not many. Well, how could they do so? Did they pray that because they couldn't feel the pain? Because they didn't know about the suffering in hell? No way. When our Jesus got whipped, he felt pain. Because he was a man, he felt pain. However, his love for people was even greater than the pain that he got. That's why he took the cross. Apostle Paul also wanted to go to hell to save people. He made the confession. And Moses made the same confession. And they all went to New Jerusalem. And our goal is New Jerusalem too. And those who went to New Jerusalem risked their lives to pray for his people. People committed grave sin, but he couldn't let his people die like that. So risking his life, he petitioned for his forgiveness. The people didn't believe God was with Moses. They didn't obey Moses. They didn't give thanks to Moses. They always complained and grumbled against Moses. However, even such a people committed sin and was about to be destroyed, Moses risked his life for them and saved them. Since Moses has such ultimate level of goodness, that is to give life for even enemies, Father God said his humbleness is more humble than anybody on the face of the earth. How many people can you embrace? How many? Sometimes you cannot embrace your own child, your own siblings. You argue with them. You quarrel. You make discord. I believe pastors, leaders, workers, those who are in position of taking care of souls, should long for this kind of gentleness. And you gotta lead your people to heaven with love and virtue. You should embrace even those who disobey you. In any given situation, even though they bring troubles to you, you gotta embrace them with love and virtue. You gotta long for this. Well, we are on our way to New Jerusalem. Israelites, went to the land of Canaan after life in the wilderness for 40 years. We are on our way to New Jerusalem. So think about that. We may have to go through many things. So instead of complaining, We gotta give thanks for God's leading us to New Jerusalem through this way. We may think, you know, we are good now, but that you can do when you are in the world. But you don't regret, even though you are walking the way to New Jerusalem. So you'd better go this way with give, you know, while in giving thanks with joy as you live your life as Christian. Brothers and sisters, the fourth goodness of Moses that God recognized is that he was faithful in all God's house. Faithfulness is taking care of duty more than enough. And faithful in all God's house is to be faithful in everything, in every field. It's not like you can be faithful but not in the other field. No matter where you are, you got to be faithful. That's what I meant. Moses was faithful in all God's house. Isn't it wonderful? God said that Moses was faithful in all his household. When Aaron and Miriam was talking about Moses' authority, God said Moses was different from you. The faithfulness of faithfulness of Moses was acknowledged by God himself. To be faithful in all God's house, what should we do? Can we do that with a precise plan? Well, it may help to some degree, but the more important thing is that you should be ready to give this kind of heart, the heart to give up your heart, time, money, and sacrifice them all. You gotta have that kind of heart. You gotta treasure what the duty that given to you. And when you can take care, when you can take care of that job with faithfulness, then you can be called, you are faithful in all God's house. Then you can reap proper fruits. Hebrews 3:5 says, "Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for testimony of those things which were to be spoken later." Moses was very humble and he took care of all the duties that it was given to him. His duty by God given to him was to lead Israelites to the land of Canaan, make them escape from Egypt, and lead them to Canaan. Moses didn't become the lead because he wanted to be. He was chosen by God, and he was called by God. But the Israelites didn't obey him well. When they faced difficulties, even a little, they grumbled against Moses. They even tried to stone at him. Moses had to take care of such, difficult people. It was his duty to lead such people to the land of Canaan. If you become a leader, you got many, pressure. Sometimes it is too much. At your work, or in your business, or in this church, if you are in a leading position, I believe you agree. I heard the story of a man who was a leader of a company. Well, if you run your own business, then you come across with many kind of things, right? His company was about to be bankrupt. He had to, pay a certain amount of money. Otherwise, he got bankrupt. So time, and then he tried to borrow money from the bank. He couldn't borrow. It's noon. The CEO could not eat. He tried all means to avoid bankruptcy. It became 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 3 and a half. 30 minutes later, he got bankrupt. 3:50, he got the money. So he was so thankful. So he avoided the bankruptcy. After that moment, his secretary and he side. And he got so nervous before. So the secretary asked him to golf, play golf. So while in the playing golf, his body got leaned toward this, and then he got cerebral infarction. Because, you know, he worried about his company and his employees. So he got too much pressure on his body. So he got paralyzed after that. So we can imagine what kind of pressure a leader has. They sometimes, you know, avoid the situation. Sometimes, you know, they commit suicide under that pressure. It is too much pressure to the leader. Some weak people, you know, commit suicide. But Moses didn't avoid the duty. He didn't give up. No matter what kind of difficulties he faced, he believed in Father God and overcame them. Well, my job was just making people, making Israelites, escape from Egypt and lead them to the land of Canaan. But thinking of his duty all the time, he took care of people, and he thought about his people all the time. But his people got no faith, so he mourned for his people. He prayed all the time for his people. His heart was filled full of mourning and a burning heart for his people. He never had the rest until he led his people to the land of Canaan. He shed countless tears, and we cannot describe with words the prayers of mourning. Do not forsake these people, but lead them in your will. That's what he prayed for. Since Moses had this kind of heart, God trusted him, communicated with him, and gave him great power. Moses was able to do his duty through faithfulness. As I was preparing for this message, I thought about Senior Pastor. Senior Pastor delivered the message about sanctification, but he had pressure about this reality and all kinds of difficulties. And he had to deal with people who committed sin. And then he had to deal with that. In 2010 and any other years, he got no strength left, right? And we saw that. So I once again thought about his situation, and then he was under such great, pressure to lose all his strength. It's not easy to fast for 40 days in the wilderness and through such fastings, Moses received the word of God, and he wrote the five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and other five books. Since Moses had such a heart, God could communicate with Moses face to face. Moses was so faithful that he was acknowledged by God like this. He was called by God at the age of 80, and he died at 120. But he didn't stand before God with confidence, because only two, Joshua and Caleb, were the first generation who entered the land of Canaan. Of course, second generation entered the land of Canaan. And they were able to show faith. Thanks to whom? Thanks to Moses. Well, Israelites didn't obey from the beginning, okay? But Moses took care of them, embraced them, and solved the problems for 40 years. He showed the works of God overflowingly and planted faith in them. He saved them from the anger of God. Father God didn't ask him, but he knew the heart of God, and he petitioned to save his people. However, he was always sorry not to bring more fruit to God. Father God gave him great power, but he couldn't bring more fruit, and he felt sorry for that. We know the servant who just say, "I just did what I had to do." Moses had such a humble heart. So what should we do now? My duty is too much. It's too much. I want to give it up. Whenever you have this kind of thought, think about Moses. From when he made his Israelites escape from Egypt until he was called by God to heaven, he didn't let go of his worries about his people. Even though he was faithful in God's house, he was sorry for not being able to give more fruit. We gotta make these hearts as our goal. Let me conclude this message. I told you about the goodness of Moses. He rather chose to suffer together with God's chosen people. And he gave thanks to God during his refinement. He was more humble than anybody on the face of the earth. And he was faithful in all God's house. We learned what kind of vessel Moses had. Can you imagine how Father God see Moses? When he was young Moses wanted to be with God's chosen people. He didn't see God, but he felt God, and he gave thanks to God. He petitioned for people who tried to kill him. He understood the heart of God, and he was faithful to him, to God. Moses was so lovely. But it wasn't easy for Moses to change like this. Without 40 years in the wilderness, he could not have given this kind of thanks and become gentle like this. Until he gave up his pride and meet God, he had to change a lot. During long years of refinement, he changed beautifully. He could embrace 2 million people with his heart. He could save even evil people. Dear brothers and sisters, please find the love of Father God and discern His will well in a situation like given to Moses. And later, may you confess that through such a moment, I became beautiful fruit in the Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.